Well, let me tell you a little something about me. When it's Saturday night, I need to blow off some steam. One, two, three, four!
Hi, I'm Daniel.
Hi, I'm Scott.
And it's a lovely Tuesday day. Tuesday day?
Well, it's not Tuesday day for you. It's Tuesday evening for you.
Let's start again. And welcome
and it's a
to
lovely
this lovely
Tuesday day.
Oh my gosh. You, sir, are an ass. I just wanted to
yes.
say that.
Proudly.
Welcome to our show, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah,
you're not an ass, by the way. Scott is an ass, not you.
Yes.
The listener.
I'm an ass.
Yes, just Scott.
Yes.
Scott is the ass.
Welcome
anyway.
To our show, all you wonderful listeners out there in listener land.
It is. We have listeners. You know what? I have big news. I don't know if you saw this that came through our emailing system today.
I think I know what you're going to say.
We have another iTunes review.
That makes two.
It does.
Son of a whore.
This one came in from our dear, dear friend, Donna Sugars.
Donna Sugars.
Yes. Who writes, I sit alone in my basement and work from home. The isolation slowly driving me mad. But then I got to hear Scott and Daniel. Sorry, Daniel. You know how he is about top billing.
Yes. Thank you, Donna.
I have laughed and cried from laughing, and it's only been 3 episodes. You both are exactly what I need always and forever, but then it cuts off.
But you know what? We didn't need the butt.
Yeah,
because
especially
between
right now,
the two of us, we have substantial butts.
Yeah,
thank you, sweet Donna.
Thank you, Donna.
That's
you know,
very kind of
Donna
you.
Sugars is the host of the Donna Sugars Experience. Donna Sugars Experience. I can't talk.
Donna Sugars, and you're dangerously near me. I get ideas. I get ideas.
You know that that's now going to be her theme song. Just sorry.
Okay.
Thank you, Donna. We really do appreciate that.
Yes.
And you too can hear your lovely words spoken right here on this show. All you have to do is go over to iTunes and leave us a review. There you go. That's the last time I'm going to bitch about that.
And I don't remember who it was. Someone was poo-pooing. iTunes. Do people still leave iTunes reviews? Someone said that. I don't remember.
I don't know who it was. I don't know. Probably it's probably Bob. Bob does that thing. You know, the guy named Bob. Hey, Scott.
Hey, hey, Daniel. Happy Tuesday day.
Yeah, happy Tuesday day to you. You know what? Speaking of comments on the last show, there was some comments that were made about the song that you sang, the I Am I Don Quixote. From Man of La Mancha. And in post, I decided to add some music into it.
Which was amazing in that I guess you had a little problem with finding the correct pitch.
Yes, I did. I really had to because I realize after the fact what I should have done was matched you up to a singing track and pitch corrected to it, and then taken the karaoke track and pitch corrected it to the same. Because the problem was is I was just doing the score to your vocals, and
wow.
So it was very.
Had I known this was going to happen, because it was very exciting to hear the music swell mm-hmm. when I was singing, but. As in whole, I did not pause enough. I did not give enough rests in the singing because I wanted to do it quickly because I thought it was just going to be me.
Right.
So I was not waiting long enough for where the orchestration would swell. So the timing and the rhythm was off, but the pitch was perfect, and it was very exciting. And I know that must have been a shit ton of work. I think a lot of people don't realize how much work goes into something that appears to be simple or easy or off the cuff. And it usually the off the cuff things are the things that have taken 3 to 4 hours to get off your cuff.
Right. So just along those lines, I did go back and read it. So here's the process. I took this recording. From YouTube, and I took this recording.
That's someone
what?
With a very high.
Well, that's
high
because I had to. It's already
you pitched him up.
It's already pitched. So this is your.
I am my Don Quixote, the Lord of La Mancha.
Save button after I pitch corrected
very
that.
Very nice.
Then what I did was I took the karaoke track and pitch corrected it to be the to match with the other one. So then the ending result now is, I don't want that solo. I don't want that off of solo. So the end result now is,
I am my Don Quixote, the Lord of La Mancha. My destiny calls and I go. And the wild winds of fortune will carry me onward, whithersoever they blow.
I also cut in between your tracks to space it out.
Look at you.
I know, yeah.
I'm so pleased. I've rarely sounded so marvelous. I have always considered myself and will always consider myself an actor who sings and not a singer. So it's nice that you orchestrated me and put that in.
That's right. So, and I the only problem is that I sang two songs in the last episode, and somebody on Twitter was like, "Oh, but there was only one song," and they were talking about you.
I think it's very, very important that we only inhale the positive and take the negative in stride as the unnecessary ugly filter of the world.
Okay.
So inhale the good and then shit all over the assholes. I mean, breathe out the bad.
So how was your week?
Oh, God. You want the truth or you want me to podcast talk?
I want the truth. I think everyone wants the truth from you, Scott.
It sucked.
Really?
The week sucked. And I'm not going to go into details. I will just, one of the things is that we just found out that my brother-in-law needs triple bypass. Ooh. That Gooch has got to get eye work. Drew, I keep calling him Gooch because I have a microphone in front of my face.
Right.
And when a microphone is in front of my face, he's not Drew. Drew needs some eye work done. And so, by the way, we'll talk about it. But a couple of Tuesdays, we're going to have to record on Mondays because I got to be Tuesdays because he's going to have dilated and patches and things. And I need to drive him.
That is not what
everywhere.
I thought you were going to say, because right over your left shoulder is a monitor, which has a waveform up on it. Looks like maybe Audacity is running over there. And I was going like, oh God, he's saying like, oh, by the way, we're going to have Gooch's goddamn eye surgery drama. And he's made a bumper for it.
No, that is, I'm actually what I have. Oh, how the sick need hobbies. What I am doing is I am taking Paula Deen YouTube videos because she's doing her quarantine kitchen where they're filming YouTube, like 10-minute YouTube videos of her cooking in her
quarantine
kitchen.
Sponsored by Black Lives Matter.
Well, And I am intercutting all kinds of rude shit.
Nice.
Yeah, I'll show you and you'll laugh. Well, it's like you said, because at one point, she says, oh, look over there. And she's actually pointing to her great aunt and her cousin sitting at a table. But I immediately cut to, forgive me for not knowing the actor's name, but Uncle Remus in singing zippity-doo-dah, zippity-ay, to really hammer home the systemic racism that exists in this fucking world.
James Basket.
Okay. And so that's the kind of stuff that I'm doing.
By the way, won an Academy Award for that and died like within a month after winning that award.
Wow.
He was not allowed into the...
Of course not.
Well, no. He was allowed at the Academy Awards. He was not allowed into the theater where they premiered it in Georgia.
Of course not. Yes. Oh, God. You want to talk about a topic that is really deep and really ugly is the systemic racism in this country that has been forever and continues horrifically, and hopefully some light is getting shone on it.
Oh,
minimally shone on it, because it's monstrous. It is, I think, truly the biggest blight of our country, on our country, in our country, ever.
Well, I mean, that's why we refer to slavery as the original sin, right? It's like, we are a country that is built
off. Oh, did you hear that Senator Cotton, or is he Senator or Congressman Cotton? Tom Cotton, ironically, said that slavery was a necessary evil.
Oh, yeah, it was necessary, right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, we couldn't have paid for that stuff.
That's what we're fighting as enlightened people.
Although I will disagree with Joe Biden about one thing when he said that Trump was our first racist president.
That's hyperbole. And how about a few of the presidents that probably were banging slaves and everything else going
on? Yeah, exactly. And we're actually fighting against the slave rights and whatnot. Yeah. Yes. Now I had this thing that happened to me the other day.
What is that, Daniel?
Because one of the byproducts of the whole Black Lives Matter movement is that it gets people to talk about this thing in situations where they normally wouldn't talk about racism and systemic racism, which I view as a good thing. Bringing that conversation out into the open is always a good thing in my mind. Specifically in like work settings where my company has taken the stance that, you know, they support Black Lives Matter and they're doing all kinds of extra things to help educate, their workers, whatever, you know, that this is their official stance on these things. And they have a lot of education things that are going on. And to that end, we had this Q&A all hands at the end of this all hands meeting. We had this Q&A thing. And because I'm a technical person, I was helping to run the event. So this is all done virtually because it's a big conference call kind of a thing.
You were administrating business.
So I saw the questions as they came in. I was not the one who was moderating, nor was I the one that was choosing what questions. But I saw this one question came in and it really, really just tweaked me a little bit. And I wanted to just read you this question, not tell you who it came from or anything like that. It basically said, you are all doing a lot to connect with and understand the African-American community, which is amazing. Do you have any intentions on spending some time with the law enforcement community to better understand what they're going through? And I was like, wait a second. So in this guy's mind, there are Black people and then AKA criminals, and then there's law enforcement. These are the two sides. So it's like, well, no, equal time. If you're going to talk about Black people, then you got to talk about the cops. It's like, wait, well, that's, asshole, that's, there's Black cops. And there's white criminals. It's like, why are you like making these is not the apples same, and apples.
Yeah. It's the same mentality of the, well, all lives matter bullshit.
Yeah.
It's the exact same mentality. And to say what cops are going through is absolutely absurd. The people in power are never going through anything because they are in power. So they're not going through shit. Now, if they get slammed by some right-doing higher up that puts them on trial and gets their asses in jail where they belong for killing someone or beating some poor Black person, or even even a Black person who's doing something wrong,
or even lose their job, even if they don't go to jail, at least just lose their job.
If lose their job and go to jail if it's a criminal act, absolutely go to jail. You know, the police aren't going through anything, and it's bullshit to say that they're going through something. No, what's happening is the bad cops, which are now, there's so fucking many of them, it's ridiculous and scary, they're getting a light shone on them, and as well they should. I just hope that, you know, I really hope that the good cops and the good law enforcement people will rise up and do the culling themselves, get in there and not allow. Because you know in the locker room when they're changing into their fancy bulletproof underwear that they're talking as they would talk to their friends or normal. You know, I stopped this, whatever they call them, and did, you know. You have a duty as a right-thinking, forward-thinking human being to stop that kind of conversation right when it starts and to regardless of the consequences, state your opinion, where you stand, what you will tolerate from another human being about any subject, but most specifically racism, and most specifically racism where African American people are concerned.
Yes, and I agree with you, but I think the problem comes in, and it is like almost cult-like in their organizations, right? They're so like, it's not just the union, but it's this whole cult-like mentality of like, well, I can't, Although I can scream at him for being a racist asshole here in the locker room, I can never do that in public. I can never, because then I will get shunned by all of the other law enforcement officers.
Then you know what?
Blah, blah, blah.
Get shunned.
Yeah. And which is the...
Get fucking
right.
shunned.
Well, that's
because
the,
that is your duty as a human being.
Right, that's why people are wanting to defund the police. That is exactly what it is. It's like, that is the whole thing. This whole system is fucked up. We need to just dismantle this entire system. And do we really, really need cops with guns showing up for, you know, traffic violations? Like, do we need like people that are trained to like shoot other people to like show up for a traffic stop? It's like, most traffic stops don't involve guns. We don't really need armed officers for that.
I do not have a solution. I do not have a...
Wait. So you're saying that us on our little podcast in 30 minutes are not just going to have a solution for this entire systemic problem that's been going on for 200 years?
I know that it's hard to believe. Between the two, the two minds are yours and mine together
in
one place.
I'm just so disappointed. I don't know what to do.
Speaking of disappointment.
Yes.
You didn't watch Cabaret.
I didn't watch Cabaret. I don't know if you saw, but we actually took a day off last week, Zach and I did, and went to Disney. So we only had like a four-day...
Yes, what the frig was with that picture where Zach looked like Gollum in the back of the... crouched down in the back of the... What the hell was that picture, poor man?
So Zach is very white. Zach is very...
Speaking of racism...
I mean, like, even for white people, he's white. He's very pasty white. He's a northerner that is now transplanted to Florida. And so the harsh Florida sun is not his friend. And so when we get to the parks, usually what he does is he starts putting on sunscreen, and I'm standing there in the hot sun waiting to go. And so I just took a picture, and he was putting sunscreen on his leg. So that's why he was crouched down, as he was putting sunscreen on his legs.
Bless his heart, you'd shamed him. You skin shamed him.
I didn't skin shame him.
You did too. No, I can completely relate, and I can also commiserate with Zach in that. I don't tan. I stroke is a Woody Allen line. But my line is, I don't tan, I bleach. I am so white, it is absurd, and I never have tanned in my entire life, and I can't tan, and it's horrible, and I hate heat and the sun, and that's why it's so wonderful living in Woodland Hills.
I've got no tan to kill me down. I don't know what I said. I don't know how to go any further than that. I had some lines in my head, and I lost it.
That's from Pinocchio, and it's I Got No Strings, but I don't know how we... I got no tan to tie me down, no color on my skin to make me...
Yeah, something like that.
I don't know. Yeah.
We'll workshop that.
Yeah. We'll workshop. Anyway, I can understand, but that was just a...
Drew pointed it out to me.
Drew said... Did you see the picture Daniel posted? And I said, what? And he said, I guess they're at the park or Disney something or another, but what's going on with Zach?
See, now,
and I thought
he would have said what's going on, because if you look at Zach's Facebook feed, he's posted some pictures of us where I have breasts, like huge breasts, and it was a trick of the light on the shirt. It's like, not that I don't have moobs, I do have small moobs, but literally it looked like I had like a full rack of breasts on my person. It was like,
am I Facebook friends with Zach?
I know who you're Facebook friends with, Scott? I don't stalk
Daniel,
you to that.
That kind
extent.
Of attitude. That kind of sharp retort attitude is not going to get you anywhere with me.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, it's going to raise my ire. And at this age, if you can get my ire up, man, you're a good man.
You have pills.
Charlie
There's pills
Brown.
For that if you haven't.
I know. I told you last week the generics are very affordable.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So we took a day off last week. Getting back to the thing. So we took a day off and we went to Disney. And so that kind of made a week that we would have had some time to do some stuff. We spent it one fucking day.
One, I said the F word. I apologize.
Is
your reason that you didn't watch Cabaret.
Look.
No, I don't want to look, Daniel.
You said, I will watch this Buckaroo Banzai movie. I will watch this Buckaroo Banzai movie only if it's free. And there is no way for me to watch Cabaret for free. I have to pay $12.99 to purchase it.
Because right. How much to rent it?
Well, $3.99. But I don't want to pay. Right. But what if I like it? And then I would have to pay $3.99 plus $12.
Well, if you like it, I would highly recommend that you purchase it on Blu-ray and have it in your a hard copy in your collection.
Okay. It's 2020. There's no, we don't have, why would I need a hard, why would I want some kind of physical, if I, long as I own a digital copy of it, I can have it anywhere.
Because digital copies can be wiped out with an electromagnetic pulse.
No, sir. You're thinking of VHS. You're thinking of magnetic media.
Don't be ugly.
I'm not being ugly. I'm just being.
All digital information can go in a cloud of electromagnetic mm-hmm. dust when there's a pulse from a nuclear weapon.
Mm-hmm. Well, you see, it will
not melt,
that,
and it will not melt my Blu-rays in my closet.
Oh, a nuclear weapon will not melt your Blu-rays.
My Blu-rays will be shut up, Daniel.
They'll reflect the heat right off of them, and it'll
listeners,
be safe.
Thank you so much mm-hmm. for listening to the last episode of our show. It's been fun. It's four. We did four, and I think that's good. So
you know, the other night there was a tangent, but it's relevant.
Can I interject really quick something
please
very
do.
Very sappy
yes.
because I know he's listening. I just want to say how much I love my husband. I love you. Okay, go ahead.
I like you, Drew. The other night there was a Pride 48 cocktail party, which is happens once a month, where it's a big Zoom call where people just drink and have fun and whatnot. And the trivia show that I had done on the Pride 48 weekend didn't get recorded, and so they asked me to redo the trivia game with some new contestants on that. So I did a but part of the trivia thing is I send out to the audience a questionnaire, because the final round of the trivia game is asking questions about how the audience answered something.
Oh, like survey says?
Right, exactly. But I just wanted to draw this to your attention. The final question on the questionnaire that I sent out is, which show will end first, our show or the Lily Fatty Cast? And 68.2% said them. So when you say that this is the last episode, you see, now you're making that audience wrong. So.
Never. This is going to go on. You know what? So this is what I was thinking about once again, laying in bed, thinking about all the horrible things that I think about when I'm trying to sleep. Mm-hmm. When I started the Vera Speaks for Real podcast, I was in my 50s. I was in my 50s when I started. And I was thinking to myself, if we go for 11 years, I'll be 75 mm-hmm. if we go for 11 years. That is just really, I don't think we're going to be going for 11 years, Daniel. We should probably shoot for, I don't know, maybe 10, then I'll be 74.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't it unbelievable how young and fresh and vibrant my voice sounds and I'm so old?
There's like a huge difference between 74 and 75. There's just like,
yeah, of course there is.
Just right, mm-hmm. right over the edge there.
So I interrupted you with.
No, that was, you were saying there was the last show.
Oh, well, that's right.
I don't even remember where we were at. We were talking about Cabaret. I didn't buy the movie. I will purchase the damn movie and I will watch the damn movie.
Okay.
Is that a line from the movie? I feel like that should be a line from Cabaret. I'll watch the damn thing.
Well, there's probably something close to it.
Now, the version I'm watching does not have Alan Cumming in it, right?
No. Oh, Jesus. Good. God. That's the fucking stage play.
Yeah.
You're
well,
going
good,
to watch,
good, good.
I believe it's a 1972. I believe 72
right.
Movie, film.
With Lisa Bonelli.
Liza Minnelli, Michael York, Joel Grey in an incredible performance, and directed by Bob Fosse, and it's a phenomenal movie.
Fosse.
Exactly.
Got it.
A little better, but yeah.
So anyway, yes, we went to Disney. I don't know where we're at. We're
okay.
somewhere.
It really doesn't matter. We tangented, as
we
it
did.
Were. Well, briefly, what was, not briefly, again, I always preface it with briefly, but that's because I'm dealing with you. How was the experience at the park with the current condition of bullshit?
I thought, this will sound controversial.
Oh,
I don't know why it came out that way. I was
interesting, though.
I was trying to say controversy, and but then try to work it into controversial. And I think I even tried that on my other show on Mixed Minus, but that didn't work. Anyway, the point is, this will sound controversial. I felt safer at Disney than I do at my grocery store because, or any of the shopping places, the limited shopping places that I've had to go around here, because if someone had their mask like slightly down over their nose, there was a cast member there going, "Excuse me, you need to pull your mask up." It's like they were very
on it.
They had marks on the grounds where you could, you know, where you were standing, so you were 6 feet away from the person that was in front of you in line, and they had all the queues set up so that there was no queue next to you, so you were basically had a 6 foot radius around you. So everyone has to wear masks at all times, and then you stand in the queues, would you have, and then in the final pieces of the queues where they couldn't do that, they had 8 foot tall plexiglass dividers between the final couple of lines there so that you weren't, you know, breathing on. So I felt very safe there. It was, we were outside mainly. There were a couple of things that we said ahead of time that we wouldn't do. Like, I didn't want to ride a monorail or ride a bus. I didn't want to be in a small area with recycled air. I just didn't want to be in a small room with recycled air.
Were those things running?
Yes, they were running. Oh. And they have dividers between the cars, and they have extra dividers in there, whatever. But still, regardless, psychologically, I just didn't feel safe doing that. So we took the ferry boat over and back. And most of the things we did were outside, roller coasters and Jungle Cruise and things like that. So we didn't really spend, I mean, Haunted Mansion is inside, but it's such a cavernous, huge building that I didn't feel unsafe in there. But oh, we'll see. Today is the fourth day since I've gone, and most symptoms of the coronavirus show up around day five. So if I'm sick tomorrow, then...
Goddamn Disney.
But here's the thing. You know, Disney has been open for we're going on 3 weeks now, and Universal was open a month before that, and we're just not seeing a lot of team members for Universal or cast members from Disney ending up being sick. So it's like the precautions that they are taking clearly are working to protect their workforce, which also in turn should be protecting their... We're just not seeing a huge outbreak in the parks here. It's not, you know, I think most of the outbreaks that we're getting in Florida are coming from bars and restaurants because those are small inside spaces with air conditioning. It's like air conditioning is going full blast. And if someone has coronavirus over there without their mask on, they're breathing into the air conditioning system and it gets into everybody. So, yeah.
On a happier note.
Yeah.
I don't have it.
No.
I'm not looking at the cello. Oh. Now, I'm moving my microphone, so you're probably going to get a bunch of... that you might have to cut out, except I was talking while I was moving it, so there's no way to do that. So, listeners, forgive me if you hear because I was moving my microphone because
it's my new ringtone by now.
I'm so because I'm so fat that my back hurts unless I move on a semi-regular, my lower back, because it's supporting my enormous girthful belly.
Have you thought about getting a new chair?
You know, I don't think that it's the chair. I think before I invest
like just get one with a massage thing.
Well, I actually have two. I have a massager. I have, first of all, we have an incredibly wonderful, gigantic chair that we bought, I don't know, 20 years ago, 10, 15 years ago, that is a full, it's like a full body massager thing. It doesn't do your legs and shit, but it does your back and your upper back and your lower back and your face. But it's in another room where you have to sit in the chair. But I did buy this little neck massager thing that is miraculous that you can put down in your lower back and your upper back and your... But
and,
I find
and wait, no, go on. And your...
anywhere. Yeah. I suppose if you were so inclined that you needed to massage that, that you could. But, yeah, so I use that. But the thing is that the majority of my ailments, and there are many, are due to the fact that I'm overweight. If I lost a shit ton of weight, a lot of the things that are troubling me would cease to trouble me. But tell me that as I'm shoveling in the second helping of mashed potatoes and waiting for the ice cream. You know, it just... your back hurts. Why are you eating ice cream?
Because I want ice cream.
Okay.
I want ice cream.
So a couple of episodes ago.
Yes.
I mentioned about us eating keto and you were like, oh, no, you do not do keto properly because blah, diddy, blah, diddy, blah.
Wow, do I sound like that?
Yeah, yes, in my mind.
Okay.
Oh, no, I sounded like that. Blah, 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 blah.
So Zach and I have been doing keto for over 2 years. We started July 1st, 2 years ago. So it's, you know, 2 years and what, 26 days or 27 days.
All I said is that you are doing dirty
yes.
keto.
Yes.
You're not doing
okay,
keto.
Okay, okay, stop, and, stop, right, stop right there, stop right there.
Okay.
There's nothing wrong with dirty keto. It's like, I don't understand the cult-like mentality of like, well
again,
if you don't do this, then you're not
again
truly doing
it. Again with the cult.
But we were,
again
okay,
with the cult.
Okay, well, that's because I don't know
I'm
of another
saying,
word to...
I'm
to,
saying this, Daniel. Okay, yes. This is the simplicity. This is how simple this is. Say a fact, don't say an opinion.
Okay.
When you say Zach and I are doing keto,
yes,
you are not doing keto. You are doing dirty keto. You are doing low, low carb is what you're doing. Keto is very different. That's all I'm saying.
But here's the difference, though, is like, because keto comes from the name of ketosis, that you
yes.
want your body to get into ketosis. We still yes. achieve ketosis. So it is still correct to say that we are doing keto.
There must be some stinky breath in your household.
We brush our teeth and floss regularly.
No, keto makes your breath really stink. Ketosis can make your breath
stink. Ketosis will make your breath stink, especially if you don't drink enough water. However, if you drink enough water, that does help to alleviate that. But that's like, the point is, we started doing the keto diet because we wanted to lose weight. Not because we wanted to, you know, embark on some new healthy lifestyle where we went to a CrossFit gym or anything like that. Literally, our only goal was to lose weight. Collectively, we've lost over 100 pounds and have managed to keep it off for about 2 years. So it's like, we are
excellent. It's
happy
working
doing
for you.
That. Yeah, it works for us. We do, now that we have gone through our initial weight loss phase and, you know, maintenance phase, we now are in a period now where we often have a cheat day once a week. And there's nothing wrong with that. So we don't subscribe. To me, it's like, it's not a diet, it's the way we live our life. And
it's just easier
to explain to people that it's keto, because that's the closest to what it is.
My guess is that when you have your cheat day, you throw yourself out of ketosis.
Yes.
And it takes a very long time to get back into ketosis. So I would hazard a guess that after your cheat day, if you have one once a week, I would seriously doubt that you're back in ketosis, but know what?
But,
it doesn't
but
matter.
Actually, the medical science on that says that no, actually, most people go into ketosis overnight. So it's like, going into ketosis is not hard to do. Maintaining ketosis is hard to do, but getting back into ketosis is not hard. And what you're talking about is that oftentimes after you cheat and you'll have a carb crash the next day where you'll just feel really, really hungry, because one of the side effects of doing keto is that you don't normally feel hungry. Because
I know I did. It.
Right. So when you eat carbs, you do have that gnawing hunger feeling, you know, that really intense hungry feeling. So yes, we do have that the next day, but since we're aware of what it is, we ignore it and then go back onto our keto diet. So it's like, it's one thing. Look, it works for us. It is keto. I'm not meaning to offend you, but it is keto. Dirty keto or not, it is still keto.
Do I look offended?
No, well, you know.
We live in a world... We live in a world where people bend truths constantly and say things that are not facts as facts.
Yes.
I mean, the current leader of this country is champion, absolutely the champion at that.
Mitch McConnell?
Yes. And my hackles go up when I hear something stated as a fact that isn't a fact. And in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't matter what it's called. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all what it's called. What matters is that you have found a way to eat and still maintain a healthy weight. And that is a wonderful thing. I
Yes.
could too if I had any kind of self-discipline. I have none. And the older I get, the less I have. So it's not going to end well here.
Well... You have to make it at least 10 years so that we can...
That's right. I could be 60 or 74 when we end this particular show.
Well, your side will be recorded from a hospital, but that's fine. We'll still do it. We'll make it to 10 years.
I'll have my laptop on that hospital tray, and I'll strap a webcam onto the nurse.
Probably the same laptop, too. How old is that thing? Anyway,
Well, Moneybags, why don't you send me a new one?
I just bought a new computer and it is very loud. I'm adjusting to that. It has fans on it that kick in to, you know, keep it super cooled and whatnot. And they're occasionally very loud. So that's my new cross that I have to bear.
Absolutely one of my favorite stories ever.
I know. I thought okay. So. You know what, Scott?
What?
I think that kind of wraps this meandering little episode up for this week.
Really? Yeah. Oh my gosh. Time flies when you're miserably bored. I mean, what did I say?
It's such a good feeling to know you're alive. It's such a happy feeling. You're growing inside. And when you wake up ready to say, I think I'll start a snappy new day. It's such a good feeling, a very good feeling, a feeling you know that I'll be back when the week is new. Well, no, we do a weekly show. The week is new and we'll have more ideas for you.
I have a feeling there's going to be orchestration behind this.
No, I don't want to try to pitch
myself. You know, I'm troubled by a lyric though.
What?
I think it's from a gay porn. It's such a good feeling when you're growing inside.
It doesn't say growing inside of me.
Oh, okay.
All right. Well, then we'll talk to you guys next week.
Next week. Bye.
Thank you for listening to That Darn Elvis. If you would like to contact the show, use our email, contact@thatdarnelvis.com. You can also visit our Facebook page at facebook.com/thatdarnelvis. Scott can be found on Twitter @AntiVera, and Daniel can be reached @DanielBrewer.
This podcast is a proud member of the Pride 40 Fuck Me Whole. Go to pride48.com.